Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Season Countdown, an in-depth look at all 34 of the region's local football clubs. Here's your host, Tom King.
Well, he had a stellar career wherever he went, whether it was the Falcons in the GFL, a NEAFL MVP with Southport. He played VFL with a number of clubs, and most recently was a star at St. Joseph's, finishing runner-up in the Matheson Medal in 2021. But he's got a family link to Anglesey, and through that link, he finds himself as co-coach of the Roos in 2022. He's been good enough to join us. I speak of Jordan Karras. Jordan, great to have you on the Season Countdown.
Thanks, King. Always a pleasure.
Now, you're going in a shared role with Paul Nigro, but just talking to you today, how do you see the dynamic working between you and Paul as he phases out of his coaching and hands the baton over to you down at Alameda Reserve?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's I've really enjoyed having and working alongside Paul. He's been a really good sounding board for me so far. I mean, you don't really know the pressures and the stresses of being a head coach until you put yourself in that position. I'm pretty thankful to have him on board, to be honest, because, obviously couldn't do this role by myself. And, having Paul that's been there for a number of years now, he's been a really good sounding board for me so far. So, we're really looking forward to working together in the 2022 season.
You're still playing fantastic GFL footy. You could have easily stayed at GFL level. What was the outside of the family link? Was there a real lure to coach at some stage?
Yeah, look, to be brutally honest, once I left the VFL, and I'm sure if you ever speak to Paul Carson, he'd probably vouch for a similar thing. I probably lost a little bit of motivation to really commit to playing footy. I mean, I have a little girl now who's 10 months old, and I'm working long hours. And when you don't really have that responsibility of the VFL where you're right into it, I probably found myself lacking a little bit of motivation to play footy at times. And I suppose I thought to myself, look, well, what's the next challenge that's going to be able to allow me to, really get my head and commit to footy again? And I'm really happy I made that decision now to be a playing coach for the future at Anglesey, because, I've probably never enjoyed footy so much, really. I can't remember the last time I've, really enjoyed being down at a club. And, I think being a part of, being fully invested in something and that's what being a playing coach does to you. It's been a really good decision for me, I think. So, really looking forward to that.
Yeah. What's it done for your personal development, Jordan?
Oh, look, I'll definitely develop for sure, I think, throughout the whole year. I mean, there's a lot of little stresses that comes with being a coach, and it's a lot of people management, that's for sure. And when we've got a club that's in Anglesey, and it's lots of guys are travelling down, and there's not too many locals left in Anglesey now, there's all the permanent residencies really dropped. So you really got to be able to manage people and the boys, and it's been really good for my development personally, because I've got to juggle a lot of different people now and make sure that it's a really good place to be around. So, it's a lot of challenges involved, but, really, really enjoying that side of it as well.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to stamp your mark on the group through pre-season? How have you sort of eased into the coaching? Has Paul had a bit more input into what pre-seasons look like, knowing what the group needs? Or have you really, used your experience to say, hey, look, why don't we try this?
I reckon I've probably taken over in that sense. Paul's really, allowed and challenged me to really take over, whether it's the way, Anglesey or we want Anglesey to play this year. I've really made that effort to bring in a game style and the recruiting side of things. I did a fair piece of that. So, I've really tried to stamp what I think is important for our club and coaching our side to winning every game. It's not going to be realistic for us, you know, at the start of the season with so many new people around the club, and you know, I'm looking more towards, you know, the next 2 or 3 years for our group, because yeah, you don't win flags in 12 months. I mean, it would be great if we did, but we're really trying to build a culture for the next 3, 4, 5 years for our club. And COVID has really had a massive turnover on our group, and a lot of guys have retired. So, yeah, that's probably where my vision is, and Paul's really supported that. So, yeah, it's a bit of a journey over the next couple of years, and yeah, looking forward to seeing that challenge evolve.
Yep. New look's probably the best way to describe you. How different are you going to look from that elimination final team that lost to Ocean Grove to what we see roll out in round one against Motowari?
Oh, look, I think looking on our board, I think we'll probably be playing, yeah, 6 or 7 players who played against Ocean Grove in that last final. And yeah, like our best side probably only has, yeah, 6 players, 7 players that played at Anglesey last year. So we'll most likely have 14, 15 players debut for the Anglesey Footy Club in 2022 round one against Water.
Okay. We'll touch on those who have departed first. Jordan Erskine's the big one, century goal kicker with the club. And of course, we're not sure what he's going to do, but he leaves a massive hold. What were your conversations with him in terms of trying to get him to stay? Did you try to, or were you understanding of his circumstance where, you know, he's going to have a couple of kids and a couple of young ones, and that, you know, the travel probably was precluding him from being part of Anglesey going forward?
Yeah, look, Geordie was an interesting one. I definitely didn't push Geordie. He's old enough, and he's been around the club long enough to know whether he wanted to stay. And, you know, I'm probably more, you know, empathetic towards him knowing how hard. So, yeah, I mean, been for a while, but, you know, to lose a player in, you know, that's going to their 30s, 30, I don't know how old Geordie is, but, you know, there's some other boys that we've got now who are, you know, key forwards, and they're just starting out now. Their journeys are footy, and I'm really looking forward to helping them develop, and I'm more than confident that some of the boys that we have will step into his shoes nicely and really grow to be really good players in the BFL for us up forward. So, wish Geordie luck, but obviously would have preferred to have him than not, being a one-point player and the quality he is. But, yeah, in terms of being disappointed, you know, it's that's just footy, you know. That's his decision, and I'll wish him all the best for wherever he decides to play in 2022.
Yep. Also, some retirements, including Luke Rounds, of course, played with Collingwood, Bell Park, and down Anglesey for a couple of years. Tom Stevens, the two Lynch brothers, Darcy Bell Warren have all called time. Jacko Bue, so you've not only lost a leading goalkeeper, but you've lost an Ash medalist. Jacko's gone to North Geelong to, you know, basically complete the circle for the Bue's family at the Magpies. Blake Grant obviously has flitted between Donald and Anglesey for a number of years, and we'll be back at Donald. Dale Kerr is going to have a crack in the GFL at Grovedale, which nobody would begrudge. So there is some depth loss there, but there is some inclusions, including yourself, obviously, that, you know, quality midfielder straight in. So you're not going to talk about yourself in glowing terms. We can do that for you, George. But the other names there that, you know, obviously Jill Pettengill, who you played with at St. Joseph's, most recently at St. Albans, comes in. And there's something about Jill Pettengill is just a real... You know, he's a real live wire, and I reckon he's going to excite Ballarine fans, whether you follow Anglesey or not. He's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Obviously, that list is pretty extensive, and you know, probably out of that group, you're probably only looking at one or two that are under the age of 30. So, yeah, it was going to happen at one point or another. Unfortunately, it's happened when, you know, I've taken over in my first year, but you know, they're the cards that I've been dealt. To come, you know, into as a first year coach, and realistically, you never want to lose some of those guys, but it just allows me to invest in the boys that I do have, the younger boys that have come in that I'm really excited and probably bullish about. But yeah, I mean, Dill Pettengill, I've always kept my eye on Dill. He for some reason is someone that I always used to love playing footy with. He's a forward that kicks goals. So And he's a very hard person to match up on. So we'll look forward to seeing what he's going to do this year, that's for sure. And as well as a couple of other guys that I'm really excited to see how they go in the BFL. So, yeah, see how we go with them.
Yeah, Ethan Floyd, as I touched on, across from Winchelsea, has played some VFL with the Cats, obviously played good footy with the Falcons, and also at Colac, Joel Donaldson's back at the club, Oscar Balderas, I think was on the Falcons list most recently at Lawn. James Moberly is the one I'm interested in, and Anglesey last year with Zane Bale retiring at the end of 2019, really relying on Ash Caldwell and Jacko Bewes to do the ruck work, but with Moberly, you get yourself a genuine ruckman.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably being a midfielder myself, I've made that a high priority for the Anglesey Footy Club, even if we didn't have too much ruck stock last year. But he, the big fella, he'll surprise a few this year, I reckon. He's a quality person. He's a very smart fella, and I think Ash Caldwell's looking forward to playing in the midfield without having to jump all over people and get his shins bruised. So he'll benefit from that too, and so will our club. So yeah, there's a couple of big boys now that we can rely on in the ruck going into this year compared to previous years. So we're wrapped to get Moz on board, that's for sure.
Yep. Max Simpson comes down from Midiamo, Simon Umbers. So Simon, I think we're through the link with Aries Inlet, comes as a one-pointer. Is that correct?
No, not quite. Going through the process at the moment of looking at some of the boys that have come from the Aries deals, Simon's currently sitting at 4 points. So we'll see how we go there through AFL Barwon and AFL Vic, and hopefully he gets an opportunity to reduce his points because he's a young player and he's from our area, one of few that actually live in Anglesey. So, hoping for the best for him in regards to points and our footy club.
Yeah, okay. Who's impressed you on the track, Jordan? Who's worked their backside off since you got there and got into training in, you know, late October, early November?
That's a tough question. To be honest, I can't go past some of our under 18, under 16 boys who's taking the step to train with us this pre-season. But we've got a couple of boys coming through our under 18 system who definitely will get an opportunity playing for us this year. And the two Collins brothers, Noah and Will, they continue to impress me every time they train and get an opportunity with us. They're great kids, and they push each other pretty hard, those two. And also got a young kid named Aoki, and he's also coming from the under 16s, and he's those three young boys coming through our juniors, we're gonna make sure we put our arm around them and make sure they be a part of our club as much as possible, because they're the future of our club. So really looking forward to those boys pulling the jumper on this year and getting a crack at some senior footy, that's for sure.
As you've touched on, the population of Anglesey is probably not what it was in terms of being able to draw on young talent, but I see you'll field an under-18 team this year and should get 16s and 14s up as well. So at least you'll have that flow through of juniors.
Yeah, exactly, King. I mean, I've already, and we'll definitely make it a priority to look after our junior boys coming over the next couple of years, because, when you see some of the sides that are really successful, they have really good junior programs and they've got a lot to choose from when they come through the system. And the nature of the beast is we don't get access to as many juniors coming through. So, the boys that want to put the work in and want to play senior footy, we're going to give them every absolute opportunity to do that. And make sure we make them feel very welcome when they do want to, come down and train and play. So we'll be targeting at those boys and looking after them, that's for sure.
Yep. Round one against Motawarri. Anybody that's going to struggle to get to the start line in about 3 weeks from now?
Fingers crossed. At this stage, we're looking pretty healthy. Got a couple of little niggles on the weekend against Heidelberg. No one's really, really injured at this stage that is definitely putting a line through their name coming to round one. So fortunate from that aspect so far, but like we know, footy can change. We've still got a couple more packy matches to go. So, yeah, fingers crossed we can stay healthy, especially with the first month we've got.
You're going to have four practice matches all told. Was that a deliberate ploy, knowing that you were going to have a new group and you probably needed as much footy under your belt to get some chemistry heading into what is a really tough first month of footy?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, there's always a risk of injury going in with that, but I personally think it was important to see some of our boys in action, and we targeted some really good sides to actually play footy against, which was really important for us. You know, I think, you know, Heidelberg and Bell Park, that's pretty good opposition for our boys to have a crack against, and I reckon they're going to be pretty grateful because we've, we're showing improvements each week after these practice matches, and I think it'll prepare us nicely for coming to the start of the season.
Yeah, you've got to play everybody twice in the Ballerine, a bit different to what you've experienced in previous competitions you played in with the JFL and the NEFL and the VFL, where the draw's been a bit lopsided, but you couldn't have been handed a tougher start if you asked. The other four finalists in the month of April, you've got to play them, so I suspect you're probably happy to play them, but you maybe wanted to have, you know, got into the season a little bit before you had to cop all four of them in a hit.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting start. I mean, a couple of my mates have been getting into me saying, "Oh, Anglesey 0-4, reassess the coach after 4 weeks." I've copped it a little bit in the background, but no, I love that. I'm more than happy to for our group to take on the four best sides. It gives us a good look early. You know, we're a young group, so we'll relish those sort of challenges, and I'm sure we'll surprise a couple of those sides. We'll see how we go.
Probably our Ocean Grove one in round two. I know you said there's a lot of players that won't have played in that elimination final, but as a club, that was a day to forget down there at Port Arlington. And I think you might have taken that game in and probably thought, and the rumour mill was very, very strong that one Jay Kerris was coaching Anglesey. You probably looked at it and gone, "Oh God, gee, we've got a bit of work to do here."
Well, it's interesting, yeah. Ocean Grove, you know, I suppose the whisper is they're young and they're, you know, they've got a lot of energy and they ran over some of our older boys is what I was hearing. I mean, they're pretty confident. I've heard in their team going into 2022 as well. So, yeah, we'll look to make one back early in the season on them, that's for sure.
Jordan, will you be around long enough that you'll get to play with a brother-in-law? And for those who aren't aware, you're married into the Dangerfield family, so Patrick's your brother-in-law. He's still obviously got a lot of AFL footy under his belt left. I think he's only 31. So he's got plenty of time at the elite level. But is there a wish that you might get to run around in the Royal Blue and White Stripes with him one day?
Yeah, it's interesting. I said to him the other day, actually, you'd be an all right one-pointer at the club. I wouldn't mind taking you in as a one-pointer. He's actually really, he's really pumped to be around the club a bit more now that I'm involved, and he's down there on the weekend, and you know, some of the boys who were, you know, he was giving advice to, they were just, you know, all ears, and you know, it was really nice to see him down there. In regards to playing with him, not sure whether, you know, if Anglesey want me, and you know, I want to do the job, and I don't know. You have to ask him one day in one of your press conferences to see whether he reckons he's got more than 4 years left in him. Probably does based on the positions he can play. But if he's keen to play, I might try and find a spot for him. We'll see how we go.
And for you, your coaching, Jordy, is this a stepping stone to wanting to take your coaching further, or is it something you haven't really thought about? But for now, you know, being a playing co-coach in the Ballerines, where life sits for you?
It's a good question. I'm not sure, King. I mean, I'm looking forward to the challenge I've got now, and it's a fair period of time, you know, 4 years to coach a club, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. Probably at this stage, it just suits my life, and I'm really enjoying that side of things. In regards to the future, I'm not sure whether it's going to be a stepping stone for me or not. You might have to ask me that question in 3 years, 4 years' time when seeing how we've gone and how many grey hairs I have from then. So we'll probably reassess. I'm really not too sure, to be honest.
I don't think those locks will be as luscious as they are as we speak on in March 2022, in March 2026, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm not too sure either, King. I might, I'll hang on to it as long as possible, but yeah, it's thin in quickly, I think, so we'll wait and see.
Well, Jordan, we really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat to us. It's going to be an interesting year for the Roos with all the player changes and obviously looking to find your feet quickly as a co-coach alongside Paul Nigro, but also getting a team to adapt quickly in what is a tough month of the season. We wish you the best of luck and we really appreciate you joining us on the Season Countdown.
Thanks so much, King. Cheers.
You've been listening to K-Rock Football's Season Countdown. Keep an eye on krockfootball.com.au for new episodes in the lead up to the 2022 local football season.